Praise the Lord and greetings in the matchless and mighty name of Jesus. I am Pastor Johnny Magnus and I am coming to you from 1004 North Osage, Okmulgee, Oklahoma, 74447. Today we are doing Bible class live early so that it can be available anytime throughout the day or the rest of the days whenever you are able to watch. We are dealing with the subject matter called But Still I Hope, the sub-theme of In Transition. But Still I Hope, In Transition. Before going into Romans 8, 18 through 19, just want to say we had a fabulous time on Sunday. Spirit was high. Elder Brian Campbell spoke the word, how bad do you want it? And we've got to really want to live for the Lord. We've got to really want the eternity that he has provided for us. He said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be also. And I do believe that sometime we lose sight of what our objective is. People get caught up in just simply going to church. They get caught up in the ability to quote scriptures or the ability to argue their point or the ability to teach or the ability to preach. And then the primary objective that we are to deal with or to look at, we sometimes forget. So I want to remind us in this lesson what our hope is, amen, and to understand that we're not just waiting on the transition where we transition from mortal to immortality, what we call the rapture, when we shall be caught up to meet him in the air, him being Jesus. Praise the Lord, Deacon Collis and Sister Vicky. We don't want to just deal with that, because if we are not in the process of transitioning now, it is very difficult for me to believe that we will transition at that time. So we'll make this more clear as we go through the scripture verses, and we'll start at Romans 8 and 18 and 19. And Paul is saying here, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Now, of course, we know that the way they spoke back then is was completely different from the way we speak now. And when the Bible was translated by the scholars, King James appointed to do so, well, their speech was different also. So we're going to try to simplify this speech. He says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now, that's pretty simple language, but what Paul is showing us is that no matter what we're going through, no matter how much we're suffering, how much pain we may be in emotionally, physically, economically, whatever type of pain that exists, Paul is showing us in this writing here that whatever is going on presently, we have to transition ourselves out of what we are dealing with presently by looking at the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. So when we're looking at the eternity that the Lord has established for us, when we are looking at the promises that the Lord has given, when we read in John, before he had to close the book, the outline that he was giving of heaven, and we're looking at that particular hope, then this needs to be our encouragement. This needs to be the thing that picks us up out of whatever we are dealing with and transition us and place us in another area. Look, our body will still be going through whatever it's going through. Whoever's been persecuting us will not stop persecuting us. Whatever pain we have in our body, It might continue. Whatever economic situation we have, it may continue while we are transitioned, but we can minimize the pain or completely take away the pain by putting our mind on the things that the Lord has for us in glory. And too often we concentrate on what we're dealing with, what we're going through, rather than concentrating on what we will have. And when we transition in our minds, in our spirit, in our soul, if you will, from the suffering that we're going through to thinking upon, Elder Gentry, he loves the verse, whatsoever things are lovely, pure, honest, of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, do what? Think upon these things. We need to think upon those things, and they will elevate us. They will bring us up out of the hole that we appear to be in, the hole of tragedy, the hole of pain, the hole of economics, and it'll pick us up out of that and allow us to continue to smile, allow us to continue to be at peace, allow us to be happy, because what we're doing is not about this present time, it's about the time that we will have eternally with the Lord. And so when we begin to think on those things and transition our minds upon that, that's how we can remain in peace. That's how we can go through whatever we have to go through without doing things that are carnal, fleshly, sinful, because we're maintaining our hope. And Paul says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So he's saying it. He's showing us the way that we should be. Let's think upon the things that shall be rather than the things that are right now. First Lady, we are in Romans 8, verses 18 and 19. And so he goes on to say, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. That's the language that can appear to be confusing because of the way they wrote then. But what he is saying here is that those of us who have placed our hope, all that we have, all that we are, into the eternity that we will have with the Lord, he uses earnest expectation. And so I want you to imagine yourself, you're at a football game or a basketball game, and you got people sitting in front of you. Now, you came there because you're excited about that sport. And the people sitting in front of you are kind of blocking your view. So throughout the whole game, you're doing things like this, because you never know when a play is going to develop that is exciting. And if the running back takes the ball and he skips to the left and starts running past defenders, you might get so excited, you might, without thinking about it, grab the two people in front of you and split them so that you can see what's happening, because you're so excited about what is taking place. And before it took place, you were excited about the possibility that something is going to happen that you don't want to miss. So that's why you keep bobbing your head and you're stretching forth your neck, trying to make sure that you can see. This same type of expectation we have at a sporting event is what we need toward the coming of the Lord. There is, should be, an earnest expectation of the coming of the Lord. It should be greater than the event that's going to be happening on Saturday. It should be greater than the family reunion expectation. It should be greater than going shopping expecting to buy a new outfit. Y'all know how pumped up we can get sometime about things that we are going to be able to have materially, something that we can physically touch. Can we tell ourselves it's time to transition and think that same way towards the things of God? And when we get to that place, yeah, you'll still be happy about the clothes that you buy. You'll still be happy about the possibility of buying that new automobile or the event that's happening on Saturday and all of that kind of stuff. But it will pale in comparison to the expectation that you have in the things of God. And so we've got to transition, people of God, because if we don't transition in our way of thinking, if we don't transition out of the hole of economics and pain and psychological pain and all of these things that the enemy is trying to direct towards us, if we cannot transition out of that with the hope that we have in Christ Jesus, then it's going to be very difficult when the trumpet sounds and the rapture occurs, that we will transition then. So we've got to make this a practice right now, that whatever I am going through, my mind is going to say that I reckon that my present sufferings are not worthy to be compared to that which I have coming to me in the Lord. The scripture let us know that he has given us the earnest of the spirit, and that there are times that we are able to sit in heavenly places. Let's put ourselves in heavenly places. Let's transition from the physical, the carnal, from the material, from whatever seems to be ailing us right here, right now, and let's transition so high that we are sitting in heavenly places even while our body is sitting right here on planet Earth. Oh, it's very possible. You know it's possible, because before you came to know the Lord, there were times that you just laid down and had visions of grandeur when you were real young and you could play basketball pretty good. You started imagining yourself in the NBA. And before you know it, a whole hour has passed while you were thinking about how you're going to elevate to the NBA. You imagine yourself dunking on people. You imagine yourself stealing the basketball, doing reverse layups. So you know it's possible to leave what is currently here in this present life and transition to another place that is beyond this place. And so you've done it by way of imagination. Now I'm telling you to do it by way of what you know exists, which is heaven itself. So he said, for the earnest expectation, do you have that earnest expectation? We must have it. The earnest expectation of the creature, all creation, especially us, mankind, but all of creation is waiting on the manifestation of the sons of God. There's going to come a time that we will transition from mortal to immortality. And the whole creation is waiting on that time to come. Are we in line with all of creation waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God? Are we earnestly anticipating? Are we with excitement waiting for that transition? Or is all of our hope in what's going to happen later on today? What's going to happen on tomorrow in the physical? Or are we thinking, Lord, if you come today, I'm going to be so happy. Lord, I don't want you to take too long. And I'll wait another year, Lord. But when you come, I'm going to be excited. And if you don't come then, Lord, I'm still going to be excited, waiting for you to come, waiting for you to take me out of this place. There's an old movie. Now, look, I don't want to encourage anybody to watch movies. They have things in them that shouldn't be. But in this movie, there's a lady, and there's a couple of ladies, and there's an army base nearby, and they train officers, men who will be officers. And these ladies are trying to develop relationships with some of these officers. Why? Because they want to be taken out of the poverty that they are in that little town. They want to be rescued, if you will, by an officer who makes a generous salary and he travels all over the world and everything. And so one of the ladies was gung-ho about it, and over the top and willing to use whatever methods possible. Another lady was just happy-go-lucky, and whatever will be, but she did have the hope to be rescued. She just didn't imagine that she could be rescued. And at the end of the movie, after the guy becomes an officer, he shows up somewhere, wherever she is, working in a factory or something like that. and he rescues her out of that place. Oh, it's a very romantic movie, and it makes you feel good. She got rescued. She got delivered from her poverty. She don't have to work in the factory anymore. She's got a man that loves her and all of that kind of stuff. And we love that kind of stuff. But this is far greater. We are like those women in poverty, because being on this earth means, if you listen to Paul in the fifth chapter of Corinthians, he's telling us that we would rather be with the Lord than to be here. It is a type of poverty to be away from the Lord the way we are. But we're going to live in the richness of what he has given us, the earnest of the Spirit, and we're going to learn how to transition ourselves from this inconvenient place, from the inconvenient things that are being done to us, from all of the strategies that's being used against us, from our own flesh wanting to do the things of carnality, and that we're having to fight all the time. So all of these things going on, we should want ourselves to transition and think about this eternity that we'll live in forever. And so we do that by way of the Spirit that the Lord has given us. The Word is in us, and the hope remains in us through the way that we live. If we don't live right, that hope is gone. Sin diminishes the hope. It doesn't just diminish the hope. It takes the hope away. And sin takes the hope of eternity and it puts it into something else. We can get excited about who the preacher is going to be because we like a good, hard preaching preacher. But does that also mean that we love the Word, or do we just love the excitement that comes with the exhortation of the preacher? Or do we also love the Word, and do we love the Word because the Word is transitioning us from our carnality into the spiritual mind and then into the eternity that we want to have with the Lord? So we have to be careful about the things that we are excited about when they are not the things of God. And when they are the things of God, we want to build upon those things and make them better and better. So listen, the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. We should be earnestly, with great expectation. I'm not going to use the word anxiety, but we should always be looking for the coming of the Lord. And when we see things occurring here on planet Earth, we ought to get happy. It's very sad what's going on, but we ought to get happy thinking these are the things that the Bible says has to occur before the coming of the Lord. And it should make us happy knowing that the Lord is soon to return. And the reason I know it is because this is happening and that is happening. Come on, Jesus, come on. I'm tired of the pain in my body. I'm tired of the pain in my pocket. I'm tired of the pain of persecutors. I'm tired of all these things that's going on. Lord, come and deliver your people. When you are thinking about that, you can smile because you know it's coming. And whether it comes today, tomorrow, next week, in the next 10 years, or whenever it comes, you can remain excited because you know it's going to happen and that you are living a holy life and sin has not overtaken you. John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I have always loved that passage. He was on the Isle of Patmos. The Isle of Patmos is a rocky, stony island. It is nothing that you want to. Now, in the modern times, it's a tourist attraction. But at that time, it was just a place that didn't have anything, and it was a prison. It was where they held people to be incarcerated. But John was able to escape Patmos because he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Amen. He was able to transition from this place to the next. I want to tell you, people of God, that you've got the hope in spite of what's going on, and you've got to be able to transition. When the Bible said we have a peace that passeth all understanding, that peace that you have is the knowing that you're going home with the Lord. And that allows you to have peace even in the midst of chaos and turmoil. You can have peace because you know what the Lord is going to do for you at some point. You got to deal with all of this stuff that's going on, that's swirling around you, but you know that at some point you're leaving here never having to return. There is a way to be here and there, because as we are transitioning from fleshliness to holiness, we experience the wonder of God's presence. So when you've made a conscious decision to live for God, you know about that transition because you've experienced it. Even if it's just in bits and pieces, you know it's there. Now I ask you to concentrate upon it enough that it's not just bits and pieces, but that it exists with you anytime you are able to be alone. Anytime, there's times that I'm on my job that I can transition like that. I can become so overwhelmed by the Spirit of the Lord that the songs of praise are in me, tears are in my eyes. I have to go find some place where people won't see me, where I can just begin to praise the Lord and magnify him. And then I'm just so grateful at that point for what the Lord has done for me. I'm able to transition, amen, in spite of all the stuff that's going on. And I ask of you to begin to think more upon the things of God. Think more upon the reward that you will have for living this life. And if the enemy is messing with your mind, telling you you don't have reward because look at what you did here, look at what you did there. Well, God gives you space and opportunity to repent. The Bible tells us in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So you repent. Let God cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Now, he don't cleanse you just from the very fact that you confess. His word is the cleaning agent. So you confess and then you get busy reading God's word, meditating upon God's word and applying God's word. And that's what will cleanse you. Your desire, the new nature that you have, will cause you to have a desire toward God, the things of God. And you can keep yourself clean. And instantly upon your confession and God renewing your spirit, your hope will be restored, but your hope will not remain if you don't study God's word, stay in God's word, live God's word. All right. Job 14, verses 13 through 15. Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, that thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath be past, that thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me. Now, Job, all of you know, he went through a great deal in his lifetime. A great deal doesn't even explain it. That's quite the understatement to say he went through a great deal. All of his children are dead. All of his wealth is gone. And his wife has sidestepped servitude to the Lord. And then he's got friends that are kind of miserable friends. They don't really encourage him. They don't really help him in any kind of way that we can see, that I can see. And then he gets to the point to say, oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave. Now, don't respond to this, but how many of you have wished, Lord, just take me out of here. Just take me out. I'm tired of dealing with what I have to deal with. There are some people that are in such great pain physically, they would rather die than to continue to be in that pain. But Job isn't just wishing for death. The grave is considered a resting place and a hiding place. So as a resting place, I don't have to contend with all of these troubles. As a hiding place, the trouble can't find me. So I'm hidden away and I'm resting. So Job wasn't just looking at, I just want to die. I want to rest in the Lord. I want to hide from the troubles that are around me, but I want to rest in God. I don't just want to die. Nobody should just want to die. But if you're wishing for this life to be over, you're not wishing to commit suicide or anything like that, but you're wishing for the Lord. Lord, just take me out of here so that I can rest in you. There should be a transition of the mind that prefers to be with the Lord than to be on earth. And I know, each step of my life, there are things that I experience in the natural that I really enjoy. Grandkids are very enjoyable. And when your first grandchild come, sometime you may have a tendency to say, well, Lord, I don't mind if I stick around for a little while. You know, now that doesn't mean I don't have hope of eternity. That doesn't mean that I don't want to be with you, that I don't want the rapture to come. But Lord, I kind of want to stick around and see what's going to happen with this grandbaby. Any of y'all ever been there that you have people in your life, loved ones, that you want to be there for them? Amen. And it doesn't mean that you don't want to be with the Lord, but it kind of makes you have a different thought. But even with that, saints of God, we always have to have that earnest expectation, waiting on the things of God, waiting on the eternity that comes from the Lord. And again, earnest expectation is like, you know, the stretching forth of the neck, looking for the runners to come in the marathon. You're leaning over, looking to see who's out in front. We got to have that expectation for the coming of the Lord, all right? And I'm just revealing here in the 13th verse that Job was down. He was at a point where he would rather be in the grave than not. And then he says in verse 14, if a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. No matter what you are going through, something's got to get you through. And Job, with all that he was going through, he said, in all my appointed time, I'm going to wait until my change come. Whatever I have to deal with, whatever I got to go through, I'm going to keep my integrity. I'm going to keep my walk and my stance in the things of God. I'm not going to deviate, but I am going to hold on to the things of God, because I want that change to come. I want to be able to transition. When I go into the grave, I want to go into the grave holy. The way a tree falls is the way the tree lays. And so I want to be living the way God wants me to live until the day of my death. And therefore, I can truly rest and still have the expectation of the rapture. The Bible tells us that the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet him in the air. And so we've got to have this frame of mind. He says, if a man dies, shall he live again? You've got to have a hope that gets you beyond where you are, that helps you to see beyond what your physical eyes are able to see, that allows you to hope beyond the hope of what you can see, what you think you're able to do, what your limitations are, and all of that. You've got to be able to hope beyond all of those things. Amen. If a man dies, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Without something real, something eternal to hope for, we lose strength, passion, drive, and drive to continue. So if we don't have the hope of eternity, we don't have a reason to hold, as the Psalms say, to God's unchanging hand. If we are not hoping for the eternity in Christ Jesus, we don't find it necessary to make a holy decision here as opposed to a carnal decision here, because what's the point? there's no reason for me. And then once people lose hope in eternity, they also start disbelieving that there's a lake of fire. And we've got to know that both exist, and one is going to be our reward for the life that we live. Let's make sure our reward is eternity with the Lord. Amen. Hey, praise the Lord, Minister Shaw. Amen. Amen. All right. So in verse 15, it says, thou shalt call and I will answer thee. Thou wilt have a desire to the work of thine hand. So, he's first saying, I want to be in the grave. I want to be hidden in the grave. I want to be able to rest. And then he brings up, now look, Job is considered to have been a contemporary of Abraham. The length of his life says that he lived during that period of time. And some of the words that he used seems to make it appear that he also lived during that time. And so he had some understanding of things. I've heard it said that Job is very, very ancient before any of the other writings. But when you really look at it, he's not as ancient as some would suggest, but he is very ancient. But he lived, I think he lived 140 years after he began to go through all of these super trials that he was going through. And so the period of time that he lived suggests that he lived around the same time of Abraham, or at least Isaac and Jacob, somewhere in that frame of time. And so to understand the thought of eternity, you read your Bible, you know that at that time, there was not this thought of eternity like it is now as New Testament saints. As New Testament saints, we have the writings that show us what Jesus said. We have the writings of the apostles that reveal to us eternal life. The whole New Testament is filled up with eternal life and the hope in it. So I'm just trying to get you to understand, when you live right, when you live for God, you begin to develop the mind of God. And when you develop the mind of God, you know what God has in store for you. You can feel it. It is something about it that you can sense what God wants for you, what he has for you. So I'm just bringing out how far back he was, and we do not see our patriarchs spending much or any time talking about eternal life. All right. They talk about the right now and how we need to live on earth before we go to the grave. But here Job is saying, if a man dies, shall he live again? And his answer to himself is obviously yes, because he says, all the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. When you're close to God, you know things that you cannot know outside of a relationship with him, that scriptures may say to you, but you didn't fully understand until you got close to God. Thou shalt call and I will answer thee. Thou wilt have a desire to the work of thine hands. I am the work of your hands, O Lord, my soul and my body. And my soul, I know, is going to live with you. And we know, according to the scripture, Job didn't have New Testament scripture, but we know, according to the scripture, we'll be given a new body. All right. And so we will live forever. Let me read another bullet point. As down as Job was, even desiring death in a time when eternity with God was not a thought, Job's relationship with God allowed him to know the mind of God. And so that's why we have to walk in holiness, people of God. Whatever you know, walk in it. A lot of people say, I don't know nothing and I can't understand the Bible. I assure you that you will have revelation upon revelation if you walk in the things you know. If you do the things you know, you will come to know more. But if you just say, I don't understand the Bible, and you refuse to live what you do understand about the Bible, you will never begin to get understanding on higher things. All right, let's go to Romans 8 and 10, and based on time, we won't get to go much further here. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. Now, don't go away, because these verses are very important to this particular message. But still, I hope. And then we're talking about the transition. And he says here, Paul, in Romans 8 and 10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. Now, each commentary that I have gone to read about verse 10 and verse 11, they seem to always equate it only to after this life, okay? When you read the commentary about verse 10, they're talking about you're already dead, but that the spirit is life in you and will resurrect you at the last day. But I want to point out to you that everything is useful for right here, right now, while we are alive. Now, I'm going to tell you, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. Now, look here. Christ in you makes you dead to sin. The new nature that you have because you became a new creature, you have a new nature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. All things becoming new does not mean you become perfect all of a sudden. It doesn't mean that you're not ever tempted. It does not mean that you cannot now commit sin. But what it does mean is that you have a new nature, and the new nature has no desire for sin or to sin. Okay, and as long as this new nature is continued to be fed, how do you feed the new nature? By walking in it, by reading, studying your word and applying the word. This new nature makes your body dead. In other words, things that were exciting to your flesh before you came to know the Lord can no longer be exciting to your flesh, because what's exciting to you now is the eternity that you will have with the Lord, that you already have, because you can feel it in you. That hope that you have in you is connected to that eternity. So you have it now, you just have not transitioned fully, but you can transition right here in your mind and in your heart, in your soul, all right? And so you're dead to the desire of sin, but it is not that you cannot commit sin, but since Christ is in you, the power of God is in you, you have the power not only to not desire sin, but to resist the temptation of sin coming against you, all right? Now, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness, all right? You have life in you. You have joy. You have excitement about the things of God. Why? Because of the Spirit of God that's on the inside of you, because of the Word of God that's on the inside of you. His Word is His Spirit. His Spirit is His Word. And because of that on the inside of you, you're able to be excited, and you stay excited. That is life in you. Your excitement is the hope that you have in Christ Jesus. Now, verse 11 says, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now look, I'm not discounting what the commentarians have written. I like what they have written. And in this particular verse, they make it all about the resurrection. But anybody who has the Holy Ghost, and anybody that has the Holy Ghost and has experience in the things of God, know that this is not only, verse 11 is not only talking about the resurrection, it's talking about right now what's happening in you, that you can transition from being down and out to having joy and great hope. And I'll read those bullet points in a moment. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken. Quicken means make alive, alive. It shall quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. So when you go to the grave, like Job saying, going to the grave, that spirit of God, because of the righteousness in you that you have lived, that spirit of God will cause you to come to life. Amen. And to live eternally. But I want you to know that this is happening and can happen for you right here, right now. No matter what you are going through, the spirit of God can move you from the lowest depths to the highest heights, if you allow him to. So please understand, don't let yourself be down or stay down. Get yourself in the word, pray, and ask God to come into your life to transition you from those lower dregs into the higher heights of his word. All right? Christ in you, you have a new nature. That nature does not seek the carnal. All right? Now, let me read these other bullet points concerning verses 10 to 11. When the word is able to move you from tired and sad to energetic and joyful, you are making the transition. When you are allowing your pain, discomfort, issues of life to come into subjection to the word, you have transitioned. When you'd rather spend another 5 minutes with God before heading off to work, you've made a transition. The caterpillar ceases to crawl at the point of transition. Our fleshly man is stopped as we transition into being that new creature. All right. And so the butterfly, when you watch these shows on TV and they show you the caterpillar and the metamorphosis that it goes through and becomes a butterfly, that is an amazing transformation. All right. The Bible tells us, be not conformed, but what? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We are expected to transition like that caterpillar did into a butterfly. And that transition means you can't ever go back to what you were. If you allow yourself to be transformed and not conformed, you can't ever go back to what you once were. Because we ain't never seen a butterfly turn back into a caterpillar. If any of you have ever seen that, I want you to show it to me. But butterflies don't turn back into caterpillars. Caterpillars turn into butterflies. And so once we make that transformation, it is permanent, or at least it should be. So when you are transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind, to prove what is that good and acceptable work will of God, you can't turn back to what you used to be. So I want to encourage you to transition. Our fleshly man is no longer fleshly. We're still in the flesh, but we're no longer fleshly. We're no longer carnal because we have transitioned from mortality to immortality. We are not living like mortals. We're living like immortals, and we're living eternal life and not temporary life. Even though this life will end at some point, what's in us is eternal. It does not die. And so we want to make sure we live unto the Lord and that we are able to transition the way the Bible tells us to transition, which is to be transformed. The Bible says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then that next verse says, and be not conformed, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. Our minds cannot be renewed while we're still acting in the carnality, in the fleshliness of ourselves. But we can only be transformed when we read God's word, study God's word, and use God's word to walk in it. Amen. And we can only transform when we have the hope of eternity in Christ Jesus. God bless you, people of God. We have prayer Friday night. We'll do it on the prayer line. at 7 o'clock p.m. I will send out the information again on Friday so that you'll have it. And then we have service beginning at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning, and I want to see your beautiful faces there. Amen. Let's continue to pray for those that we know need prayer. They're hurting in their bodies. They might be suffering financially, having family issues, whatever it is. You know someone that is going through, pray for them. Amen. And your prayer for them, the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous, availeth much. And not only does it avail much in the way of bringing them victory, it draws you closer to your brothers and sisters, and they can feel that love emanating off of you. And it allows healing to take place with them when they know somebody has their back. Amen. You ain't got to tell them you're praying for them, because when you're praying for them, they know it. They feel it. And they're drawn by it, and it helps them to believe, I can get through this. I can make it through this because I got brothers and sisters in the Lord that love me enough to pray for me and to be there for me. All right, people of God, let's see you. Let's hear you in prayer Friday night, and see you here on at 11 o'clock on Sunday.